Do you want to think of yourself as Superwoman or feel like Wonder Woman? Then you need to be listening to this devotion 4 of the Bible study, God Loves You and Me. Because I'm going to tell you how to let the Holy Spirit, the God of the universe, control you. And then you will feel and think like God's woman. Title of this devotion or devotion theme is God's Love and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to develop the theme by teaching you some insights. I think you've guessed it, about the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, thank you. Thank you for living within us, for being willing to let us live like you do, Lord. Please help us to. Amen. Two key verses about the Holy Spirit are Ephesians 1:13-14. So, of course, I'm going to read them to you because we're studying about insights about the Holy Spirit. I want you to keep these verses in mind as I do this devotion. Here we go. In Him, in other words, in Jesus Christ, you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory. Let me talk about the Greek meaning of the words sealed and pledge for a few minutes here. Of course, from the verses we just read. Sealed, the word sealed, has a symbolism of a finished transaction in it, ownership and security. Think of it like this. This is kind of a stupid illustration, but it just hit me. You write a letter, you stick it in an envelope, you lick the envelope, and yucky, it's always yucky, and then you seal that letter in that envelope with a little ball of wax and that neat little seal thing. You'd use it to smush the hot wax, and then that seal would be on your envelope. That seal would signify it was a finished transaction on your part, that you approve of it, and that you own that letter, and it's to make it secure so no one can peek at it until it gets to where it should be. When the Holy Spirit seals us, God is giving us His stamp of approval because Jesus has finished completely and perfectly the transaction of payment for our sins. In other words, Jenny, your sins are completely forgiven. That's why I sealed you with my Spirit. Jenny, you are now mine. I own you because I paid for you with my life. And Jenny, now you are securely in my hands. You're mine. You're mine, Jenny. Wow. What a principle in Scripture. We are sealed with the God of the universe, ladies. We are his. Yep, yep. Hooray. The word pledge means a promise. I pledge my support for you. It is a guarantee, a down payment. Something is coming. Also, from a little bit different angle, but the same meaning. Did you know even today in Greece, the word pledge can mean engagement ring? Isn't that neat? God wants to be our husband. So, of course, he will give us his engagement ring, the Holy Spirit. Do you see the Holy Spirit is God's symbol of love given to us, telling us without a shadow of a doubt, we are his bride. Both these words paint a beautiful picture of God's love for us since the beginning of time. God has always wanted us to be his, and now we are, with himself living within us. Can't get any more intimate than that. Are you feeling like superwomen yet? I think loved women, we could say. There are two important things the Holy Spirit does when he comes to dwell within us. These two things are found in 3:4-6, so that we can be in context. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior was revealed, he saved us. It was not because of any good deeds that we ourselves had done, but because of his own mercy that he saved us through the Holy Spirit, who gives us new birth and new life by washing us. God poured out the Holy Spirit abundantly on us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The first thing the Holy Spirit does for us is the Holy Spirit gives us new birth. The idea of new birth is also found in John 3. This new birth is a one-time experience that happens the moment we believed in Jesus. New birth means we go from a state of death to a state of life. It is much like physical birth, but it is completely done by God. Because of this new birth, the Spirit cleanses us from the filth of our sinful state. We are new, spanking new, just like a new baby. Our sins are completely, fully forgiven. As Psalm 103 says, as far as the east is from the west, God has removed our sins from us. Now, my physicist husband finally said something I understand. He says the east never meets the west, so our sins are never to be found when God forgives them in Jesus Christ. Second thing, only through the Holy Spirit living within us can we have new life. This new life in us looks a lot like Jesus' life, his character, because he now lives within us. Makes sense, doesn't it? If we don't let the Holy Spirit control us, our new life starts looking like our stinky old life. And that's frightening. At least for me. The rest of this devotion, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit needing to control us. You might get to a point you get sick of me saying that. But he does. Ephesians 5:18 is a key verse about the Holy Spirit needing to control us. So let's read it and I'll put it in context. So let's start with verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise women, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for this is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 is talking about the Spirit controlling us. Let's talk about this. When wine controls you, you are drunk or filled with wine. I've been there. When the Spirit controls you, you are filled with God. Thank God I've been there too. As verse 17 says, this state is God's will for you. The rest of this devotion, we will talk about four principles that should help you to allow the Holy Spirit to control you. Or we could say, fill you. First one, get sin out of your life so the Spirit can control you. When you become a Christian, the God of the universe, comes to live within us, and he doesn't move out. Even when we sin, praise the Lord, he doesn't pack his bag and move out of our lives. But when we sin, we start suppressing or quenching the Holy Spirit within us. This is because when we sin, we are saying to God to hoot with your control. I want to control myself. This whole control issue is simple. Hard to do, but simple to understand. If we want God to control us, he will. The problem is, most of the time, we want to control ourselves, which is sin. And let me remind you, it suppresses the Holy Spirit's power within us, which isn't very effective for our Christian walk. Amen, sisters. I want to give you an illustration here, but just bear with me. It's hard to imagine the Holy Spirit and him living within us and controlling us. What do you compare that with humanly? So, here we go. My husband and sons would go camping in the winter in Idaho. And of course, they would need a fire. Now, to start a fire in snow was hard for them to do. I think it's crazy they even go camping in the winter. But anyway, to build the fire, it would take a lot of time and effort. So they certainly wouldn't be throwing a lot of water on the fire, would they? Because it would go out. We could say the Holy Spirit is like a fire within us. When we sin, we could say we are throwing water unto the Spirit's power within us. Now, a few drops here and there isn't going to quench his power. But if your lifestyle is one of controlling yourself, which is a lifestyle of sin, you are dumping water on his power in your life. And you draw to a conclusion on what that does. How? Some of you might be asking, I hope all of you are asking, if you don't know, how can we stop dumping sin on the Holy Spirit within us? What we need to do is listen to the Holy Spirit's voice telling us whether something is sin or not, and then agree with Him about that sin. As 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Think about this concerning resisting the Holy Spirit about your sin. Sin isn't the problem in a Christian's life because Jesus has paid the penalty for all of our sins, past, present, and future. The problem is, as Christians, when the Holy Spirit is trying to point out a sin in our life and we're resisting Him, what we're doing is not agreeing with God about our sin. Where does that put us? Not in a very good spot. I need to remind you where sin starts before I end this principle. Of course, you probably know this. Sin starts in the mind. And if we don't nip it in the bud, in the mind, it becomes sinful actions. And I could give you a lot of illustrations about this, but I won't. So what do we need to do? There again, listen to the Spirit's voice when He's speaking to you in your mind, telling you not to sin. You might be wondering, how do I know what is sin and what isn't? So the Spirit can speak to me. Good question. You need to know God's Word, and this takes us to principle 2, which is know God's Word so the Spirit can control you. As I said a few moments ago, God controls us through His Word. It even says in Ephesians and Colossians, when you compare the two, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, be filled with God's Word. They go together. You can't be controlled by the Spirit and not be doing God's Word. We could say God's Word is God's guidebook for our life, so the Spirit can guide us into God's will. I have to laugh. You know what is coming into my mind is the Brownie and Girl Scout guidebooks. Whoa, that was many, many decades ago. Were any of you Girl Scouts or Brownies? Remember those guidebooks? I remember it told you how to make a sit-upon. Remember those sit-upons? You took two plastic sheets and you put newspaper or magazines between those two plastic sheets. And then you had to sew up the ends so you could sit upon them when you sat around the campfire. Well, needless to say, my sit-upon looked kind of weird. I didn't think the guidebook gave me very good instructions. If you want to be Superwoman or Wonder Woman, or especially God's woman, you need to get to know His guidebook, the Bible, so that His words will fill your mind, not the world's words. For then the Spirit will easily be able to control you, ladies. Do you at times think, I know God's word. I know what it says, but I can't seem to do it. The problem is you're not trusting God and His word enough to do it. This takes us to principle 3, which is put your faith in God so the Spirit can control you. Do you know what faith means? Well, whether you do or don't, I'm going to tell you. It means being fully convinced or completely sure about someone or something, which leads you to rely on or trust in that person or thing. When we have strong faith in God, we are convinced He is who He says He is, and that His word is trustworthy and true, so that we will rely on or trust in Him. This trust simply enables us, makes us want to obey God's word, which means the Holy Spirit is controlling our lives. Let me give you an illustration of trusting in someone. My son Daniel was a Marine officer. He and his men were in Iraq some years back. Daniel's men got to know him throughout the months before they went to Iraq. They became convinced his commands and wisdom would save their lives. And it did. So they would rely on or trust in Daniel. When he said something, oh brother, they did it. It's a little bit different as Christians. Well, of course, because we're relying on the God of the universe who created us and loves us, not on some human or something or whatever. But anyway, when we truly trust in God, when we truly rely on Him, His Spirit is then controlling us, and we are obeying Him. Let me remind you, the Holy Spirit gives us the power, the strength, even the desire to do what God wants us to do. However, we have a responsibility. This responsibility is to choose, we could say, moment by moment, who we will put our trust in. Will it be God or ourselves? Let me remind you, whoever we choose, whether God or ourselves, that is who controls us. If we truly rely on God, trust in Him, this enables us to obey Him, which means the Holy Spirit is controlling us. I do believe an example here is called for. So let me give you an example of the Spirit controlling us versus ourself. And I'm an expert at this, at least myself controlling me. You know, my talking is very much my sinful area. I can be saying very godly things and then all of a sudden say an ungodly thing. So what I need to be doing is listening to the Spirit's voice when I'm talking. So when he says, "Jenny, don't say that," I won't. Because he will be controlling me instead of my mouth controlling me. And remember, when the Holy Spirit is controlling us, we are trusting in him. I'm sorry if I've made the idea of trusting God something you can willy-nilly do or not do. It is a struggle. It's so much easier to trust ourselves. However, I believe if you truly understand God's love for you, you will be more apt to trust him. This takes us to principle 4. Loving God enables the Spirit to control you. We just talked about how important it is to trust God. But it is just as important to love him. Scripture tells us we must do both of them. Why? Why do we need to do them both? I think we can answer that question by thinking of human relationships. When you trust someone and love them, that relationship tends to be close, doesn't it? Tends to be the type of relationship you can't wait to be with. Kind of makes life worth living, doesn't it? Relationships like that. It's the same thing with God. When we trust God and love him, our relationship with him will be close. It will be a relationship that will make life worth living. You'll want to be with him. It will give you two a mutual love for each other. You'll be loving him and he will be loving you. At the same time, you'll be trusting him, relying on him. And you will want him to control you because the one you love and the one you trust is the one that will be controlling you. As we end, let's zero in on loving God. As I just said, his word tells us we should be loving him. Wow. How do we start to do that? The first thing you need to do is remember God loved you first. And that's why I wrote this study, so that you would know God loves you. Now, I'm not going to repeat everything in this study, but he has done so much for you. The foremost thing he has done for you is he died for you when you were his enemy. 1 John 4:10 says, "This is what love is. It is not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the means by which our sins are forgiven." You might be thinking, how can I show my love to God. I can't give him candy. I can't give him roses. True. But be thinking of what I just have been talking about to you. Remember sin? If you agree with God about your sin, that is showing your love for God. When you get to know his word, when you're studying it, reading it, listening to it, memorizing it, listening to me yak about it, you are showing God you love him. When you rely on him, especially when the going gets rough and it's really hard to trust in him, rely on him, if you do, that is showing him love. When you take the time to talk to God and talk to him when you, just all the time, when you're driving down the road, when you're exercising, even when you're talking to someone like I told you, so you don't stick your foot in your mouth, it's good to be talking to God in your mind. That shows your love for God. You might be wondering, how in the world do I get to love God? I want to love him. Well, it's like any other relationship. We need to cultivate it. I love my daughter. We cultivate a relationship. And one of the things she likes to do is call me on her cell phone when she's taking a walk. And we talk and talk and talk. And we listen and listen and listen. We like to spend time with each other. So we do it. Well, we have some creative ways to do it. It's the same way with God. If we truly want to love him, we have to get to know him. You get to know people by spending time with them, by listening to them. And we listen to God by getting to know his word, because his word is him talking to us. And you need to be talking with God. He already knows what's in your heart and mind. So just let it out. Be truthful. Have a good time with them. Laugh with them. Cry with them. Get mad at them. But give him a chance. And you will love him. Remember, ladies, he created you to love you. Oh, he wants so much for you to love him back. Don't you want people that you love to love you back? I'm going to end with a silly illustration and a crazy application. Many years ago, I was teaching 2 Thessalonians, and I would use an overhead. Last week it worked. Click, click, click. This week, it was not working. I plugged it in. What was wrong with it? And then someone started laughing and said, you plugged its extension cord into itself. No wonder it won't work. Needless to say, I never lived that one down. When we allow the Holy Spirit to control us, we are plugged into his power. When we don't, we are plugged into ourselves, like that extension cord, and there ain't any power. Application. You better get a pretty extension cord, because I want you to plug it into itself, put it over your neck, and wear it for the rest of your life to remind you to let the Spirit control you, not yourself. if you want God's power to live for Him. O Lord, let us want You to control us because You love us and we love You. Amen, my God. Amen.